It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
You got an open bar at the Croc Rock with Rod Black, Gino Retta, and Mustaches.
I'd sign up for
I'd
that.
I'd pay a lot of money for that.
Me too.
For sure.
A lot of 10, money.
$10,000.
You pay $10,000.
$10,000 to hang out with those guys.
If that was at a golf tournament auction, I'd just write down $10,000.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Might have a bit of a mail-it-in Friday feel to this hour because we rarely ever do this, but we caught up with Mike Babcock in the 4 p.m. hour and we thought maybe we'll replay it for the new audience at 6.
Have to.
Kind of has a bit of a duty feel to it, right? Like, almost obligated. It was a good chat. We caught up with Mike. He's feeling good.
Yeah.
Realistically, we won't see him or talk to him again before now in the draft, I guess. He'll be in Chicago, right?
We'll
and we're hoping
there.
To be down there.
We're thinking about it.
We better be down there.
We will be.
We will be there.
That's confirmed.
Vicious
we're going to Chicago.
Going around.
That is such a great city.
Should be fun. I'm pretty excited about it.
I think we might have a good time. But we're there to work.
Well,
we're going to put in
be pros,
work,
yes.
You know?
But
don't want to be stupid about it.
We're not doing that five-hour shift on Saturday this year.
I don't think we are, but I don't know how that works.
We're just doing what we want to do.
We've got to have Caber on.
Yeah, Brian McCabe's a must.
Yes.
We'll have him back, yeah.
Well, the draft lottery is this weekend, and when you compare it to what it was a year ago, the massive buildup, the past 2 years for the McDavid draft and the Matthews-Laine draft, there is no buzz. Like, I'm sure it is in Vancouver that's all they're talking about.
Yeah. Less than no buzz.
But nothing. Like, does anyone know who this Nolan Patrick kid even is? I mean, no one is talking about this kid. And he's supposed
much,
to go first overall. Nico Heeshire, like, he's another kid that could be in the top two or top three conversation. But how shady will it look if Vegas ends up winning?
That wouldn't be bad, though. You'd like
shady.
To see
people will snap.
You'd
noodles.
Like to see Vancouver win it,
right?
I would.
Forget Colorado; they had their first round overall pick.
Yeah,
you know, you got McKinnon. Good for you.
Yeah.
See
no,
you later.
I'd like to see Vancouver just for that organization's sake, and another Canadian team looking to maybe it'll help push along a rebuild.
Well, 3 years in a row, Canadian teams would have that first overall pick.
Yeah.
Right, McDavid, Matthews, and then whoever.
Maybe
they take.
Gary would set that up.
Well, I would prefer that over Vegas.
Yeah.
Every day of the week. All right, McKenzie will join us a little bit later on. Get back into the Raptors win last night. Russell Martin starting at third base for the desperate Blue Jays tonight. But again, we caught up with Mike Babcock earlier. And if you missed out, we figured we'd
throw you a bone.
Yeah, we'll throw you a bone. We'll circle back. And we began by asking him, kind of joking before he came on, he was on hold for a while. Not shockingly, the way we work. And we're talking about how fans are in a position now where they feel like the pain is over. That was his famous quote when he first got here. If you don't think pain is coming, believe me, it's coming. Well, this year was not painful at all.
No.
This was as fun and entertaining of a season as you're going to find. And you can bank on Leaf fans thinking it's only going to get better next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we began by asking him how he feels about the idea that pain is over in Toronto.
I think that's you three talking about it, not the fans.
You think
not
so?
True, potentially. Not true.
You know, that's what I would tell you is the city's fired up, and I don't blame them. I would be, too. I actually think it was a good break for the media, too. They didn't have to carve us. They were able to write honest stories that were positive. I think you get tired of the team being not good enough, and you want them to be good. You're covering this team every single day. You want it to be good. It's good for the hockey world for the team to be good. I think the team's vastly improved. I don't think we're at the point where we want to be that when the puck's dropped in September, you know you're in the playoffs. We're not at that point. We don't have enough depth yet. In saying that, we're going in the right direction, and we're just going to stay the course with our plan and keep adding pieces the best we possibly can so we have the depth so that we can do it year after year.
And you mentioned that earlier today about how you want to improve during the offseason. You have to improve. Yourself and Lou kept saying that. You have to improve. You can't get caught up in what happened this year. In which areas, how do you hope to improve going into next season?
Well, just obviously players. So, you know, I like what we did last summer with our goaltender. I really like the fact that you come to the rink each day and you know which goalie's going to start. And even if the goalie doesn't play good, you know which goalie's starting the next game. I think that's a great settling factor for our team, for an organization. Now, obviously, we feel we need more, both up front and on the back end. And we're going to go about looking after that.
Mike, you talked about the group having a good summer as far as working out. Is that some of your younger guys just committing to being pros and getting stronger, getting that man strength so they win those battles in the corner, those 50-50 battles?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, a 19-year-old kid that's 200 pounds is not near as strong as a 30-year-old man who's 200 pounds, and their heaviness on the puck and their battle level to keep it. We got to become a heavier team, and a lot of that's going to happen this summer by getting to work. We got a great sports science group there. We need to get to work. The other thing is, guys that have come from other organizations and aren't used to the way you go about things, some guys got to get quicker. So there's a lot of explosive work that has to take place. And then we got a young enough group. There's still a lot of development. And guys in today's game spend the summer getting better. They pick something, they get better, whether that be their shooting, whether that be their puck handling, that be their skating. It's important that we take steps here this summer.
And you mentioned that about Austin Matthews today. And obviously he had an incredible year. I think we'd all agree he's a lock for the Calder, just a special player. But you said today he's got to improve. In which ways are you hoping he can and will improve this summer?
Well, I thought one of the biggest things that happened to Matty this year is his pace through the neutral zone. When I'd watch him prior, his pace through the neutral zone wasn't like it is now. The second thing is his ability to play without the puck, so he has it all the time. I've never seen a young guy do it this quick, this fast. And then the thing I really liked about the playoff time for him, the physicality in his game, and not necessarily just on defense to get it back on offense, his heaviness on the puck, and then his ability to separate someone from the puck quickly in defense to get back on offense. I think the guy, he's a sponge. He's learning all the time. It's amazing to me. And his leadership skills are so good because it's not what he says. It's how hard he works every day and how much fun he has. And he's got a great ability to evaluate himself. He's an impressive guy.
With Mike Babcock, the expectations could not have been higher for him. He goes first overall in a city like this. I thought he handled it incredibly well from the outside, but you were there with him every day. Considering what your expectations were coming into the season, how do you think Matthews handled the spotlight in Toronto?
Well, I think he's fantastic. That's what I like about him. He's a humble guy, smart, comes from great parents. Like, when you see him the first time around his parents, you're pumped because he's got that much respect. Respect for me is something you learn, and he's done a real good job with that. He's that way with his teammates. He's that way with his staff. I think he's real approachable to the media and the fans. I thought he was excellent, but he's businesslike. He's businesslike. He's not goofing off. He's about the game and being the best he can possibly be.
How impressed were you with William Nylander, how he progressed this year? I know he had some inconsistencies. You said he had to work away from the puck to get it back. I thought coming down the stretch in the playoffs, he was fantastic.
I agree with you totally. I think that might be the biggest difference in any one player this year, just because his competitiveness. Willie's a gifted guy, and he's a great kid. But that intensity you need every shift, and sometimes it's not as good for him, and he's really come a long way. Now, the other thing is, when you're as gifted as he is, you didn't have to do it before. It didn't matter. But to play in the National Hockey League and to be as good as he wants to be, you know, you got to compete every second of every shift. And, you know, Willie learned a lot this year at playoff time, too. When you're out there and the puck goes in your net and you're not standing in the right spot, it hurts. And sometimes those wounds last a long time, but they usually make you remember and you end up doing things right.
You have mentioned in terms of Nylander's future that you could see him playing center. You were asked about that today. You said that won't happen next year. So if it's not going to happen next year, how do you envision that transition working out in the future, getting Nylander to the center of the ice?
Well, what happened already is suddenly in playoffs, he took the right-hand draws. Matty took the left-hand draws. He was good in the face-off circle on the power forwards. We didn't let that happen at the start. He just graduated to doing that. But the way we're set up right now with the three centers, I don't need a center right now to get him the amount of minutes he needs to get. And so he's got better opportunity to play the amount of minutes he needs in offensive situations playing on the wall at least through next year.
With Mike Babcock, head coach of the Maple Leafs here on Overdrive. The other big rookie, there were a lot of them this year, but clearly Mitch Marner had a spectacular year. His playoff, though, wasn't necessarily reflective of the way he played during the regular season. What do you hope he learned through those six games?
Well, I think the thing that happened to Mitchie most, though, is when he got sick there, and he got mono there, and that, I thought, knocked him back. It took him a while to get the same pop back in him, and then you kind of lose a bit of swagger, and then the playoffs come, and you got no room. But the thing about him, I actually thought in game six in the first period was as good as he had been in the playoffs. I thought he really had good pop and good energy, and Mitchie loves hockey. He absolutely loves hockey. He goes about it in a positive way. He's a worker. He's got great sense and competitiveness. And this is a big summer for him. He's going to get a lot stronger. He's growing a lot since we drafted him. He's a way taller kid than he was. And over time, he's going to put on some more meat. Now, he's never, ever going to be a heavy guy or a big guy, but he's going to be a lot stronger guy. And he already, pound for pound, is very strong, but he can get much stronger.
Well, and you mentioned a similar sentiment when it comes to Nazem Kadri today and the expectations for him to keep growing and putting muscle on. This is a guy who had 32 goals this year. That's a career year for him. Yet, I think a lot of people would define him as a kind of a shutdown guy, a pest type who gets in the heads of the opposition. How would you define his role? Is he more skill? Is he more pest, shutdown? I mean, how would you break down what you hope to see out of Kadri going forward?
Well, he's got great edges. He's got a good offensive skill. Moving from the half wall to the man in the middle on the power play really helps. He doesn't have a big shot, but he's got courage, and he finds the loose pucks, and he can get it in the back of the net, so that helps him score. He relishes playing against the best guys. For Naz to be as good as he's capable of being, I consider Naz, I actually do with Van Riemsdyk too, I consider them young in their development. They can still get better. They're a lot better. Naz really committed to fitness last summer, and we need him to do it again to find another level. You're going to play head-to-head in a series against Backstrom for six or seven games, and you want to win in the end, you got to be able to outdo that guy. So he needs another level there. We've talked about that. He knows that now, too. And I think until you live it, until you understand it, I don't think you can really know. But he's committed to doing that for himself, obviously, and that's a big situation for the Leafs as well.
Well, he is a guy, again, he had a career year in terms of goals, Bozak career year in terms of points, JVR as well. I thought Gardner had his best year of his career. I thought Riley was spectacular in the playoffs. These are all guys, though, that are defined as vets. And if they had career years, how did they improve on that? How can you expect those guys who you know, hit the marks that they haven't hit before to grow on that? Is that a reasonable expectation going into next year?
Well, I think what you're asking me is, can they be better and not have as good a stats? I sure think so. So I'm not as concerned about the 32 goals as I am about how you approach it and how dominant you are when you're on the ice, how much better you can get in the face-off circle and how much better you check. Can he get 32 goals again? Absolutely, if that's what he got. But that, to me, is not going to be how I measure it. And so when I look at those guys, I thought Bozak got better and better and better defensively this year. I thought he was a more complete player. He can do it again, for sure. Van Riemsdyk got better on the cycle. James got way stronger last summer, and he's committed to doing it again. He's put on unbelievable leg power over the last year and a half. and he can still do more. So these guys are trying hard. I got to give them a lot of credit. We've asked them to work, and they've done the work, and they're reaping the benefits. So, you know, I think there's a lot of pretty motivated guys.
With Mike Babcock here on Overdrive, obviously a focal point for a lot of people going into the offseason is the captaincy and the vacancy when it comes to that position or that role. You said today it wasn't, you know, a priority necessarily at this point. Lou reiterated the same thing. But you've been in the league for a long time. It feels like, from my standpoint, the importance of having a captain or the role of captain has maybe changed and evolved over the years. How has the importance of having a captain changed from when you first got into the league to where you are today?
Well, we're going to have a captain. I just don't know when we're going to have him. And then we want to do that at the right time. The second thing I would say to you is our leadership group is, I like our guys on our team, but it's also, we're trying to get more young guys involved in that the best we possibly can and grow our group together. But I think it's important that every guy's a leader in his own way and does his own thing. And we try to create the best accountability. We can't coach the player, player to coach, and player to player. And I think the group's done a pretty good job of that. Is I thought as the year went on, they got more and more committed to doing things right. And to me, that's a big part of your leadership group, is demanding it from one another.
How much added pressure do you think would come with being a captain in Toronto?
That's a great question. So, because I don't know the answer to that. I know that Jan Phaneuf took a beating here. And in my opinion, once I got to know Dion, unfairly. And so I'm cognizant that's happened. And so that's what I like about what's going on right now.
Obviously, the captaincy is about the room and about the players. I mean, would it be a situation where you would allow the teammates, the other players, to vote on it? Or will it be yourself and Lou and Brendan making that call?
Yeah, I never really thought about it. You know, we haven't discussed that part of it, to tell you the truth. We've just discussed more about when it would happen. Well, we don't spend much time on it. Lou and I spent 1 minute on this today. That's the first time we've talked about it since last year.
Well, there's a lot of fans waiting to put a C on a certain jersey, and I guess we'll have to wait to see where
that's
going.
What you guys get paid the big money for is you guys can get that going any way you want.
That's right. We'll probably spark that conversation later today.
I've already got mine. I'm just waiting to bring it out.
That's right. That's right. Well, congrats on a fun season, and we're looking forward to seeing where everything goes during the offseason. Thank you for doing this today, Mike.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on, and we appreciate the support. It's great.
There he is, Mike Babcock, head coach of the Maple Leafs. Hopefully we'll see him in Chicago. Well, we'll see him, but will he acknowledge us and come on the show? That's a different story.
I think he will.
See that, how that flows? I think I pre-tape something every day. We get to relax. It's still good radio.
If we get Mike Babcock on or Dwayne Casey or John Gibbons, fill your boots.
If we get Joe from the Bridge on, we're not replaying it.
We might have to check in with Joe from the Bridge to see where his head's at.
Yeah, we could get him in at some point.
I think he's fine.
Let's get out of here.
I think every Leaf fan is okay with everything at this point. Bob McKenzie will be in studio. The Jays are back in action in St. Louis tonight. Russell Martin playing third base. John Gibbons spinning it as if it's a no-brainer, man.
Yeah.
One of the most athletic guys we have. We'll see. He hasn't played third since 2013. Desperate times call for desperate measures, as they might say. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Overdrive continues on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs on TSN 2. If you cannot watch the show live, you can watch it later. You can find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. Check out every hour of the show on iTunes. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider in studio, and the Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance It. Any new Bobcasts coming out?
No, I'm supposed to do one Friday. I'm looking at my schedule trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. I was just thinking about that before I came in, but we'll figure something out.
Well, we might
starting
have
to get a little tougher in the playoffs. I might be getting ready to pull the old plug-a-roo.
Really?
We'll see. We got another one for sure. But
I know the feeling, buddy. Just yank the plug.
What's the summer plan for the Bobcast?
Oh, doesn't exist.
See you later, huh? Replays?
Just not a chance. Well, maybe if I get really bored one day on a rainy day or something, maybe I'll bang one out and it'll just be I'll likely be hammered. And
go wherever you want.
Nothing to do with hockey, and it'll just be like what I did on my summer vacation. So
I'll bet you the numbers will be through the roof.
Probably.
You'd be surprised.
Do the Bobby Margarita thing.
I like it.
Fire up margaritas right there. So.
Good man.
I like how when Bob comes up with an idea like that, it's like, I'm just going to get hammered and do a Bobcast. If I said something like that, you'd be like, whoa.
HR would be knocking on the door.
I just thought that's what you call overdrive.
Yeah, no kidding. What are you talking about? When have I ever said whoa to any of your ridiculous ideas?
Yeah, you got to replay an interview.
Yeah, no kidding.
Today.
See how awesome that is?
Did you mail it in today?
No, but
I'm trying.
The Babcock interview was, we felt some good work. Larry King over there went to town, so we replayed it.
Yeah, we rarely do that, but he was on a 410, so 6:05.
We're like, you should be playing that every hour.
Well, and Lou.
And Lou, too.
Yeah, but Lou.
We'll play Lou at 6:45 for you.
Lou
right?
didn't really say anything. Like, did you take anything out of what Lou had to say?
No, I love Lou. I've known him a long time, but you're not going to repeat his interview. No chance.
There's nothing to it.
Thanks, Bob.
He dances around everything. Like, we did say this that, and Ray, I think, was the one that actually brought it up originally, that, or maybe it was you, O.
That they secretly want to win next year.
They secretly believe they're actually really good. Like, they're already tempering expectations.
Well, I think they secretly believe they're good. I don't think they secretly believe they're good. I think they realize they're good. But they also know lots of good teams have come back the next year and not made the playoffs. And I got all sorts of abuse from Leaf fans because on Leaf's Lunch the other day, I said the most alarming number I saw this year was 82. And that was how many guys on the team played 82 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you look at some of the other teams that missed the playoffs, that were supposed to make the playoffs, such as
Tampa.
The Tampa Bay Lightning, the Florida Panthers, and you see how many guys missed 20-plus games, stars, first-liners, it can happen. So, but that's out of your control. Yeah. In the meantime, they're a real good team, and they're going in the right direction.
Well, they should feel pretty positive about the way everything's played out. And I'm curious to see what they do in the offseason. I think there is some external pressure. I don't think they'll buy into it, but everyone knows the elephant in the room, right? It's a top four defenseman. That's what people want, but every team in the league wants it. So
sure they do. And
what are you going to do about
that? And there's nothing in unrestricted free agency that would make you go, wow, we got to get that guy. We're all over that guy. Mm-hmm. We're going to overspend on July 1 because that's going to fit our need. That's not there. It's just not there. And so then the next thing becomes, well, what about a trade? Fair enough. And if there's something that makes sense, I'm sure they won't hesitate to do it. But, I mean, it's conceivable. We'll see. It's conceivable for me that they come back with Riley, Gardner, and Zaitsev as their top three and then figure out what the bottom three is. And Travis Dermott is a kid that played in the American Hockey League for the Marlies this year. He's knocking on the door to be an NHL regular. If you bring him in, that means he's had a really good camp next fall. If you bring him in, you probably start him on the third pair and see where it goes from there. But maybe he's a guy in time, can be a top four guy to help supplement those other three guys. And then it's a matter of sorting out at the bottom. Now, you've got Marchenko and Marinson and Carrick all under contract for another year. And you've got Hanwick and Polak who are not under contract. Polak's coming off a broken leg. Hunwick's played well enough to suggest to me that I wouldn't be surprised if the Leafs want to re-up with him on a short-term deal, but penciled into the right slot, which is, you know, third pair. So if they come back with that group, then the only real new face potentially would be Travis Dermott. Is that possible? I would say yes, that's possible.
Well, with the perceived weakness of this draft, or, you know, it's lacking in superstar power. Mm-hmm. That's the perception anyway. Not only the Leafs, but could you see other teams floating first rounders more this year than
previous years? Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it, you know, for the same reason that the teams say that pick might be expendable, some other team might not value it as much.
Either. Right. Because
everybody's in a different
street.
Everybody's in a different phase of where they're at. So, and I mean, you know, you got to be careful with this whole, the draft's not strong and it's a later pick. And, you know, Ottawa Senators got Carlson at 15 in their draft year.
And God created him on the eighth day.
Yes, they did. And yes, he did. And on, you know, Duncan Keith's a second round pick. P.K. Subban's a second round pick. So
Shea Weber a second round pick.
Yep. So listen, you know, everybody says you need a stud defenseman. You do. but you probably got to draft one more than trade for one.
Bob, we've been talking about Toronto's upcoming window to have success. What do you make of the talk? You know, basically Twitter is saying it might be window closed on teams like Chicago and Los Angeles, where it just seems like yesterday we're talking, these guys are dynasties, mm-hmm. and now it's like window closed.
Yeah, I'm not as quick to write off. You know, everybody's got the Hawks dead and buried, and we'll see. And I realize they needed overtime and shootouts over the course of the regular season to have the year that they had, and they were terrible in the playoffs. I'm not convinced that they're never to be heard from again, and that this is the listen, is there a diminishing return on guys that are getting into their late 20s, early 30s? Absolutely there is. I just be careful about writing them off that quickly.
How do they reload, though? No money.
Yeah, well, you know, that's Stan Bowman's done a real good job on a lot of fronts, but, you know, the Seabrook and Keith contracts are tough. The Taves and Kane contracts, it's the price of success.
Yeah.
That's the cost of doing business. That's the cost of three Stanley Cups. And so, you know what? We'll see. We'll see. You know what? People thought the Leafs would never get rid of the Kessel or Phaneuf or Clarkson contracts, and they did.
Yeah.
So let's. I would prefer to take a measured approach on that as opposed to Chicago will never do anything again because they're burdened by all these contracts. Maybe they will be, but maybe they won't.
I'm of the approach is expansion's going to throw a little loop yep. into a wrench into all this because there's going to be some contracts move out and
sure there is.
And you're going to have to figure out where you're at. So if you need cap relief, maybe that's where you can entice George McPhee and his group to...
Tremendous opportunity. Tremendous yeah. opportunity. And I've got to believe the Tampa Bay Lightning, for example, are all over that. We saw Yzerman do some nice moves getting rid of the Filppula contract to Philadelphia
right.
at the deadline. And I suspect there's more where that came from, that he recognizes that in order to sign Johnson, Palat, and Drouin, although, as I said on a recent Bobcast, I'd be the least surprised guy in the world if Drouin ended up gets traded. But quite aside from that, the expansion draft and expansion and Vegas's presence in the league is an enormous opportunity for creative general managers who are prepared to pay a price to get rid of some of their problem contracts.
Why is Drouin a guy now that's just...
It's not that they don't like him. They do. I just think he's going to want more money than Johnson. He's going to want more money than Palat. He's less likely to take a big hometown discount or a bridge deal. And if you really, really, really need a high-end defenseman, and Tampa does, he's the guy that's going to bring it back.
Yeah.
Palat's a real good player. Johnson's a real good player. I don't think they bring you the equal value on defense. So
I thought Braden Point would have made Johnson the one that's expendable because yeah. similar player, younger.
Yeah, perhaps. But, you know, Point's so versatile. He can play center. He can play the wing. He's creative. I just think it's economics more than anything else.
Well, that's interesting that you say a guy like Drouin is going to fetch a top defenseman. So when you start bringing that closer to Toronto, is that why William Nylander's name was always floated? Like,
it was always floated, but I don't think it was ever floated by the Maple Leafs.
Right.
I believe the Maple Leafs core is, you know, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. You know, that's their big three up front. And for the foreseeable future, there's no reason to believe that they're not foundation building blocks.
Right.
I never thought anything other than that. But, as I say, you got to be open-minded to absolutely everything. And I bet that Shanahan, Lamoriello, and Babcock will be open-minded in terms of what defensemen are available and what the price will be and how you get there. I think the Leafs, they could come back with their top 9 forwards or even top 11 or 12 forwards virtually intact next season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think there needs to be change in any organization. A lot of the change you may or may not see in Toronto hinges on what's Van Riemsdyk going to be looking for in a contract, what's Bozak going to be looking for in a contract. In the grand scheme of things, they probably need Bozak right now short-term more than they need Van Riemsdyk, but Van Riemsdyk's probably a better player, and if Van Riemsdyk is going to re-up in Toronto, I'm sure he would expect to get at least 4 or 5 years, and the Leafs would understand that, whereas if Bozak were to re-up in Toronto, the Leafs would be looking more at 2 or 3 years. So in many ways, Bozak and Van Riemsdyk will drive the narrative on their futures by what they expect to get. Do they want to go to free agency, and do they want to hit a home run many more years than the Leafs are prepared to give, and a much bigger AAV than the Leafs are prepared to give? If so, then one or both potentially could be traded, if not in the summer, then at the deadline next year. Or just let them walk to free agency, depending on the circumstance. But I say there's so many variables on that front. And as I said, we'll see where that goes.
Jerry's is tomorrow, but if you were going to put a Jerry's percentage on Austin Matthews being the captain, what would it be for training camp this year?
I would say 25%. Maybe 33.
Really? You don't think it'll happen this
year? Here's why, and I could be way off on this. I don't think Lou will want to do it. That's what I think. I think Lou will want to wait. I think, you know what? And if I was Lou, I'd wait a year. And you know why I'd wait a year? Because any kid that had the year, any kid who had the year Austin Matthews had, or for that matter, Marner and Nylander.
Just wait to see if it might go
sideways. There's all sorts, you know, the sophomore jinx is a thing. Like, whether we like it or not, it's a cliche, but as I always say, the reason cliches become cliches is because they happen to be true a lot of the time. And guys sometimes do have to take a step back for whatever reason. It's like, not every year, and
not generally the superstar guys.
And not generally the superstars, but you just never know. So my point would be this. If the Leafs as a team, for whatever reason, aren't quite as good next year, if Matthews, for whatever reason, might not be quite as good next year as he was this year, then he doesn't need to be the captain in that situation. It's going to happen organically. He's going to be the captain. I don't think there's any question about that. But what's the downside to him not being the captain next year? I can't think of one, to be honest with you, other than he doesn't have a C on a sweater.
The only thing I wonder is if Shanahan steps in. You know, behind the scenes, they're thinking, C's on jersey, that's more jersey sales. Like, that's something different. And I'm just curious to see when ownership finally chimes in a little bit, because by all accounts it hasn't happened.
Yeah,
they've given free rein, but
I gotta think that jersey sales with a C on them can't be the deciding factor on whether if they think Matthews is ready for it, and they're not at all worried about him being in that role if either him or the team isn't quite as good next year as they are this year. Edmonton didn't hesitate with McDavid, and it worked out fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you may well be right. Oh, they may come into camp and week before the season begins, slap a big old C on him and throw him out there and say, this is our guy and he's our leader, and away we go. And if they do that, that's fine, because they've decided that, you know, they know the room better than anyone else. They know the circumstance better than anyone else. But if it was me, I'd say, you know what? We had a really good year and we didn't have a captain. So what's the big deal if we don't have a guy? I've always thought C is way overrated in hockey. I think we put way too much pressure on guys that wear the C, and there's guys on teams that are born leaders that don't have a C, and they're just fine.
Look at Max Pacioretty, like, wow. The torching he took on Twitter, like, just the captain of the Montreal Canadiens, no goals.
Yeah. What do you think Michelle Therrien's saying about that?
But it's interesting, though, too, because in our interview with Babcock, he brought up Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah.
And what he went through here. And not comparing the two players, but just that role as a captain. And it was interesting, like, because he, as you said, he had Dion for about 50 games.
Yeah.
But he witnessed what he went through.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't see where the huge upside. What's the hurry?
Well, and I wouldn't be shocked at all, just based on what we know of Lou Lamoriello and Babcock, for that matter. Wouldn't shock me at all if they said, let's wait another year.
They didn't even like rookies doing between period interviews.
No, they didn't allow it. They never did one-on-one interviews. They never did radio interviews or anything.
Guys are scoring goals left, right, and center, and it's like
JVR, Kadri, Bozak.
Get all the guys, and that's Lou, and they're not rookies anymore. But I think they'll still be protected and sheltered to some degree.
Man, I wish Phil was here just for a few games, just to see his reaction when Keo goes to him and goes, the rookies can't talk, Phil. You have to go talk again.
This guy's such an idiot here.
You know, he would have been freaking out. But like, send the kids out. Like, you
oh, my God.
He's snapping.
I'm not doing that.
No way. Travis Green, he's going to be the man, the new head coach in Vancouver, and Sounds like you got some security, but that's a team that
4-year deal. I
that's
believe.
Not. They're not going anywhere anytime soon.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, there's. I was on Vancouver radio this morning talking about it, and there's a risk reward factor there for both sides. I mean, if you're Travis Green, there is a risk that your first NHL head coaching job is with a team that isn't quite pointed north right now.
Right.
And some people would say is pointed due south. So that, you know, you do run the risk of being a head coach that goes into a tough situation.
Like the guy in Colorado.
Jared Bednar.
Jared Bednar and Dallas Aikens went through the same thing in Edmonton.
Ronnie Rolston, your boy.
You know, there's lots of guys that, you know, you get your shot and things don't go well and you're kind of never heard from again as a head coach. The flip side is if you do anything at all, people are like, oh, man, wow, that's awesome. Great job. And yeah. I think at the end of the day, he's just ready. So sometimes you can wait around for the best opportunity ever. But here's a guy that was an assistant coach and a head coach in Portland in the Western Hockey League. He's been 4 years as a head coach in the American Hockey League. He's played a lot of games as a player in the National Hockey League, which I really think for a head coach coming to the league, because they kept on referring to him as the rookie head coach, and I'm like, man, he coached a long time in Portland, and, right. and he's been running his own bench in the American League for 4 years. He's a rookie NHL head coach who also has I think helps.
Right.
Because I think there's a difference when a rookie NHL head coach who's not been in the NHL before. Travis knows the mentality of NHL players. He knows the mentality of the game, how the whole atmosphere and environment goes. He knows what he's walking into.
Wow.
And I'm sure if he had go ahead.
It's going to be interesting to hear his presser, though. Like, what is he going to say? My job, if he's going to start this rah-rah garbage again with the Vancouver Canucks, we're going to get into the playoffs? Like,
what if he says there's pain coming? How would people respond to that?
I just want people to be honest.
At least he's a realist.
As long as he doesn't do the Dallas Aikens routine where take the donuts out of the press box. Donuts and being the hero.
I don't think Greeny would be taking the donuts out of the press box.
No, but like you don't want to do that. Like from day one, like come in with the hero routine.
Don't pick a fight with people you're not going to win the fight with.
Exactly.
Anyway. All right, Bob. Good seeing you.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime,
we didn't bring up the face swap thing.
Oh, sure. What do you want to talk about?
Did you see yours? The picture?
Did you see that?
You as a woman?
Funny? No, mine was funny, too.
I'm just kidding. I thought it was funny.
What did you say Bob looked like?
Yeah. This is Doubtfire. It's a good one.
I look like a
I don't know if he... I'm not sure if he... I'm not sure how much they photoshopped Nabil on his, but I'm thinking of asking him out after the show.
No kidding. Nabil
is very pretty.
Fine-looking female.
There are some Ray Ferraro.
Doozies, man. Duffy. Duffy looks like he's driving
he's a
minivan.
He's a soccer mom. He looks like a soccer mom.
Yeah, he really does.
But Ray looks like a terrifying librarian.
Just a haggard witch.
And oh, looks
I haven't
like
seen Ray.
A gamer.
There.
I look like I'm interested in everything.
Yeah. Ray looks like a Sex in the City gone wrong experiment.
Yeah, it's not
it's
good, right? It's not good.
I was kind of cute in a Brady Bunch sort of way.
No. Well, I'm dirty.
Yeah, like 3 a.m. on Sunset Strip.
O's looks like a mugshot.
Yeah, O's looks like a kind of pic you'd see on a
Kardashian.
On a Jarvis Street.
Sex in public.
I didn't want to go there.
Right. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance and Monthly Payment Plans for Big Dreams and Everyday Budgets. All right, Bob, we'll do it later.
Thanks,
in the
guys.
Week. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. We'll get to the 3 stars, best bets. Overdrive continues on TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for a Best Bets brought to you by Proline. Looking at the NBA board tonight, I think Oklahoma City will cover +7.5. I think San Antonio is going to make a statement tonight at home. They're going to win big. And I'll take Utah to cover as well at the Clippers. Throw down 20 and you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, matchup stats on your phone. Proline, get way into the game. First time probably all season, the focus for the Blue Jays will be on the defensive play of their third baseman, because Russell Martin will start at third for the first time since May of 2013.
You got a bad feeling about it? I got a positive feeling about
it. Yeah, I mean, it's a desperate move. I mean, how many balls are going to be hit his way? Who knows? You know, maybe a couple, maybe none, maybe five, six, seven. I think he's played the game. He's aware of how to play the game. I don't think he's going to look silly, but it's not like his bat is on fire anyway.
Right.
So what are you really expecting out of him for the four or five ABs he's going to get? But in St. Louis tonight, you know, they took two of two or dropped two of two against the Angels, 5-14. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do something, man. Like it feels a little bit desperate, but they are desperate. I hate to break it to people.
They got to get going. They got to get on a run. They're just a mess. To make it respectable, because right now it's a disaster.
Yeah, you're chipping away to get to 500.
Right.
Like, you're not even thinking, hey, 90 wins. You're like, can we get to 500 at some point?
It's like being overweight. Like, sometimes you got to think, I got to get to this, and I'm still overweight, just to make a little dent.
Right. Chip away. Exactly.
Yep.
Chip away. I've been down that. I know what's up.
The female we all knows have it.
Yes. The female face swap O'Neill is quite something.
She lives at the Brunny.
She's creating quite a stir.
There's a lot of people that are fans.
Yeah. Really?
Well, my fear is that these pics are going to be used to, like, catfish some guy.
Can you imagine if female me goes up on Tinder? I'm down for anything.
What would be the description of you on Tinder, the female version?
Hungry.
Yeah, just one word.
Just hungry.
All right, you ready for the three stars?
Yes. Yeah.
Overdrive, three stars of the day.
I have two from yesterday.
Yes.
Aaron Douglas.
Our boy.
Our boy. And Josh McCabe, our boy, too, friend of the show. So
love
two of those guys. Third star, give
them. Loves second
it.
Star is the female me.
Yes, I was going to say the female you. I'll give one to Mike Babcock for joining us as well. He was good. You can find that podcast online, tsn1050.ca. Check out every hour of the show on iTunes as well. I thought it was an okay show.
We grinded it out.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it is what it is.
We're going to have a great show tomorrow.
I actually feel
really
good about
tomorrow.
You
know what I want to get into? John Tavares at some point is going to be, his contract will be up in the, I don't know if I want him, I'm not sure if he's the Leaf fit.
Okay. Save that for tomorrow.
We've got to get into this.
Maybe we'll email Jerry about that comment.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.